we are at Angel Fire, New Mexico, and it's a unique place, an unusual place, and this is our second year broadcasting from the Angel Fire Resort in connection with the Paranormal Symposium, as well as the film festival. And speaking of film festivals, we have really one of the better filmmakers around who's won all kinds of awards, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about that and her film here and go into some great detail. And she's quite a good movie maker, but I this is the first time, really, that I've had a chance to meet her. And Suzanne Taylor, it's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here talking about my favorite subject.
Your film.
The crop circles. The film is just, you know, my way to get the crop circles delivered to the world.
Yeah, I think Stephen Bassett one time told me that you were on a mission about crop circles.
Absolutely. Well, I'm on a mission about consciousness, about how to wake the world up to a better way to see things. And the crop circles are just my vehicle. And how do you get a message to the world? How do you tell the world about anything? You make movies, you know. But I've been involved in the crop circle phenomenon for about 20 years. And I just took it as my mission. I mean, that's the right word, actually, to get the word out. And so I started making movies.
Now, this film already has won a lot of awards.
Indeed. In fact, I'm here because Paul Davids, who handed me Best Feature Documentary at Laughlin at the big UFO Congress Film Festival, invited me to submit my film here. So hopefully I'm going to win some more awards.
Well, you probably will.
I hope so.
And now, as far as the title of the film, let's go over that.
Well, it's What on Earth? And then we've got a tagline that I kind of use as a subtitle, Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. So let's
talk about how you filmed this thing. Where did you do most of the filming?
Well, it's all filmed in England. You know, I've become part of that whole crop circle world over there. And I knew who the interesting people were. I knew their stories. I knew who could be believed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very comfortable with me because I'm not interviewing people as an outside observer, which is the way really most of the crop circle films are done. So I was able to be very intimate with these people. And the film, as people have said, is quite a feminine film because it is very personal. And I think very interesting from that point of view. It's not just data. It's juicy.
And if you love a subject, I can understand how they would come out and come about. And as you meet these people, tell me, is it alien art or what?
Is it, what was it?
Alien art? In crop circles? Or is it,
are they real or are they not real? Is that the question?
That's always
the question.
Well, I was phrasing it a little differently. I was trying to say, I think they're real.
Uh-huh.
I think at least some of them are.
Right. We have a real phenomenon. Yeah. I mean, the only reason we have hoaxes is because they're copying something real.
Yeah.
No, for sure. There's a mystery. We cannot solve this mystery. When you really look at the evidence, you see that there's no way that these things can be done from those pieces of evidence, the scientific evidence, for instance. There are changes to the plants and changes to the soil within the circles that just can't happen. So how do they happen? Well, they're happening from some mysterious source. It's not people.
Yeah, I mean, I figured either it's some sort of message or some sort of artistic experiment. Or what do you
think that's the next question. Are they real or are they not real is one question. Real meaning, is there a real mystery?
Right.
And then why?
know,
presuming that it is not being done by land artists, that it's being done by some mysterious source, why are they doing it? So now we're in speculation. When we're looking at whether there's a real phenomenon, we're in science, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're looking at why is it being done, well, there are many, many speculations. But I'll give you mine,
I was going to get to.
Yeah, really. So it is my speculation that the circle makers from who knows where are trying to make us aware of the fact that there is other intelligence in the universe, that we are not the only intelligence. Because, in fact, if it were official, let's say, if contact were in headlines across the world, the sources, the powers that be declared, wow, this phenomenon is coming from elsewhere, it would change the world. The last time we had a change as big as this one would be was back when Copernicus and Galileo took Earth out of the center of the universe. We were no longer the big cheese in the universe. And then, you know, we went from kings and serfs, domination sort of reality, to mm-hmm. democracy sort of reality. This is a very skeletal kind of report I'm giving uh-huh. you. But now, if we were not the only intelligence in the universe, once again, we would go from being this dominator kind of species to really being humbled and having to take our place among a much larger universe. And wouldn't that be good for us? Right now, we are, you know, the power. And all we have is each other to kind of hurt each other, to rape the earth, so to speak. But if we were part of a much larger system, we would be one humanity in relation to something other. We have nothing to relate to now. It's only us chickens, you know. But if we were related to something else, can't you just imagine the conversation on Earth?
So you think, Suzanne, that they're breaking it to us gently?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, because that's the question behind that is, why don't they land on the White House lawn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't that be invasive? I mean, if you were an enlightened species, and we're going to presume they're visiting us,
they obviously are. They create these things overnight.
Yeah, they're ahead of us,
yeah.
You know. So what would you do? Would you come and bang people over the head and say, look, here we are, relate to us? Or would you gently guide people so that the light dawns within human beings' minds that goes, wow, this is for real? And then human beings own that because they figured it out, not because it really has been forced upon them by the other. And, you know, we're back to that sort of prime directive where there's seems to be some kind of dictum in the universe that it's not about anything forcing anything else, that it really is each intelligence has to become its own authority. And I like that idea. That seems gentle, and it seems like, you know, once we make this realization that, in fact, we're not alone, we have it. It's part of us. We internalize it. And then we have to deal with that in our own mental process. So our minds get changed, and we really need to change our minds. Right now, we are so destructive. I mean, I can't believe we still make war. I mean, we've got this capacity to destroy ourselves, and we may do it.
And it seems like, you know, a lot of people want us to. I mean, the alternative seems unthinkable, but people are all for it, or they wouldn't be getting away with it. Now, I'm not for it, you're not for it.
Well, you know why? It's because we have a worldview that's based on money. That's the goods. And once you have a lot of money in that perspective, we have a worldview based on materialism, not based on what would we call it, spirit, something mm-hmm. like that, consciousness. So in a worldview based on materialism, whoever has the most wins. And as time goes on, we become very abusive to one another to get the most, you know. And that maintains a system where we hurt each other to come out on top. Well, in a world where spirit reigns, there's no one on top. Everyone is, you know, it's a compassionate world where we care about each other. We care about everybody being successful. It's a whole different platform on which we would stand. And I am so, you know, involved in the circles because I think they can bring us to that platform.
And you have an ability by turning out quality films to really make a difference.
Well, I hope so. It's my fondest wish. You know, I was always interested in consciousness, and I produced many different kinds of projects and events that had to do with shifting consciousness, waking us up. It started out with personal growth way back when in the human potential movement, and then it segued to spirituality and consciousness. But, you know, when the circles came into my world as another topic, gradually, more and more, I sort of let go of the other things and thought, no, this is the one that can really make the biggest change of all.
Now, how did the circles come into your world? What
just
happened?
Accidentally. In the late 80s, I had a friend who had a son stationed in England in the military, and he would go out on his leave and take pictures of what they were then calling in the late 80s landing pads for UFOs. That was the speculation back then. And I saw the photos, and I thought, whoa. I didn't know very much about UFOs, but that's otherness. That's interesting. That mm-hmm. is beyond our understanding. And anything beyond our understanding was interesting to me. So I just started to investigate, produce events. There were people in L.A. and who came to L.A. who knew about the circles, who were researching them, and I would produce events for mm-hmm. them. And then gradually, you know, eventually I went to England. I started investigating for myself. And, you know, as I've told you, then I became, you know, ever more involved and ever more focused on that as what my main work would be.
Suzanne Taylor, let's talk a little bit about you. But before we even do that, this award-winning film, is it available on DVD
Oh,
now?
Thank you for asking. Yes.
Yeah, we got it.
Yes.
People are listening everywhere.
Here's the commercial, right? Yes, indeed. Well, it has the 81-minute feature on it, the DVD, and it has an hour of wonderful bonus material. I like that as much as I like the movie. And we have an internet special. You go to cropcirclemovie.com, and we have a sale price. We have free gifts that induce you to buy. It's the irresistible offer to buy. It will lead you to the website, which is quite beautiful. It's a flash website. But we want you to go to cropcirclemovie.com because you will not be able to resist buying the DVD if you go there. So thank you for this platform.
Right. Cropcircles.com.
Cropcirclemovie.com. Okay. You got to get it right on the internet.
Right.
Cropcirclemovie.com.
We do have a link to it on, on our page.
But I'll tell you one other place people should go. They should go to my blog because I post the most interesting things that have to do with changing consciousness.
Well, tell me about that.
That's theconversation.org. Very easy things to remember, theconversation.org. And I just find things, you know, I'm a sponge for what can change the world. And things that you will not see elsewhere. If you're on my mailing list, I send you these things for the blog. From the blog, and you get on my mailing list when you go to the blog. So theconversation.org, get on my mailing list, and you'll know everything. You'll know all the secrets.
What sort of things are on there?
Well, there are things that...
What's the latest thing you put up there?
The latest thing that I put up, oh, God, you're...
it's not
right
fair
now,
to ask you that because you've been going to movies all day.
Right, I've been absorbed in movies all day. What is the latest thing? The latest thing I put up is it's going up actually tomorrow.
Okay.
Or Tuesday. The latest thing that will go up Monday or Tuesday.
Monday. Even better.
Okay, Monday is going up something from a man named Michael Day. You know, sometimes you come across things and somebody is speaking and you go, oh, my God, that is the voice of the deep authority of wisdom. And I am again, a sponge for those kind of people. You don't find them too often. And this man, Michael Day, you just have to read what he's written about life, about the world, about what needs to happen. So that's the very newest thing that I've put up. And that will go up on Monday.
Michael Day lives where?
Well, he lives on a little island. He's taken himself out of civilization where he's not being bombarded by it.
Suzanne, how did you find out about him?
I think he found out about my movie, and I think he emailed me. Yes, he did. He emailed me about my movie, saying these delicious things about my movie, and he didn't promote himself. He just you can just hear the voice of someone that speaks with that resonance. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of his email, he just had his little blog, his blog website. So I went to his website, and I went, that's not what happened. The thing he said about my movie was so wonderful that I asked my advisors, I said, can I put this on Facebook? And they said, well, yeah, that's what Facebook's supposed to be, personal. I thought, but, you know, it sounds so self-serving. He's saying these most wonderful things about me and my movie. It sounds kind of egotistical. I was afraid to put it on, and I didn't. And I just tabled it. I kept it for a little while. And then I looked at it again, and then I saw his website. And when I went to his website, what he wrote about life and about the world was so gorgeous that I thought, oh, that's how I do it. So I sent people to read. I posted excerpts. Uh-huh. I sent them to read what he... And I said, and this is the way I found Michael Day. And then I wrote what he wrote about me. So I was able to put that on there in a sort of a non-egotistical way. So...
well, we're going to have to get egotistical because I want to find out about Suzanne Taylor. Are you in New York or L.A.?
Well, I'm in Los Angeles. Okay. I used to be an actress. And the way, you know, I got into consciousness and being interested in consciousness, when you're a method actress, you become very interested in what's inside yourself, mm-hmm. not your personality on the outside, but what are those inside things that you can call on to be an actress? Your kind of disowned selves, the interior consciousness, actually, that makes you run. And so when the Human Potential Movement came along and everybody went into therapy, I said, oh, my goodness, they should have gone to acting class. A lot more fun. And you discover the same things. So I was very tuned in to this larger universe. Uh-huh. By my acting situation. And then eventually I stopped acting because at some point I was doing a lot of commercials. I was very successful making commercials.
Well, you did a good one for yourself earlier.
Really?
I'm impressed.
Really, I did it for soap, yeah. and Nestle's chocolate and all that sort of thing. But eventually I thought, you know, the world is in such dire shape. I was also painting. I was a good painter. I had a one-woman show. I was painting pictures of flowers. I was a post-impressionist painter and people and figures and nudes and whatever. But eventually, I looked at the world and I thought, you know, I'm painting pictures of flowers. I'm making television commercials. Wait a minute. The world needs to turn around. I've got to be able to do more than that to really affect my world. And that's when I stopped acting, actually, and I stopped painting also. Things I actually love to do. And I just got very involved with producing these programs that would tell the world about consciousness.
What's your next project?
My next project is getting this movie out. Really. You know, people say, you're going to make another movie? No, I don't need to make another movie. I have the movie. This is my tool because I've become a speaker
So you want to people, of course, to know about it, and they go to that website again is?
Well, it's cropcirclemovie.com. My blog is theconversation.org, but I'm also a speaker now. And I use the movie and the crop circles to speak about consciousness and how we need to change it. So I really, sometimes I don't even show, I just show a little clip from the movie when I speak.
Have you, theatrical distribution, is that something that you would be doing?
We started on the internet because I have this huge niche audience. Do you know that the UFO audience, which likes my movie, I'm not so much UFO, but they are crop circles.
Yeah.
So do you know it's the second largest niche on the net? Do you know that?
I wouldn't doubt that.
You can't do an internet campaign.
I didn't know that.
It is. It is. It is. You can't do an internet campaign for like a romantic comedy. You have to have a target audience to aim at. And I had this huge target audience, so it was a choice. Was I going to do the festival circuit that would take a year? Oh, I wanted to get it out quickly. I want to change the world now. So I chose this internet campaign. But now, as we speak, I'm supposed to sign a contract with a sales agent. It's in my email right now to get the movie onto Netflix and Amazon. But I didn't want to do that first. First, I wanted to, you know, deal with my niche audience to buy my movie from my website. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, you make the money that way. You know, you keep all the money. You don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You're not wholesaling it, right? And I wanted to get enough base of money that I actually had enough money to market it out to the world, because I did not make this movie for my niche audience. I made it for the world. But that's our next phase now. Now we're moving into that phase. You're asking me all the best questions.
Well, I wish we had more time, but we're going to have
again. Let's do it again.
Yeah, we will. We'll be talking. And it's a pleasure meeting you in person.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, I lived in Santa Monica for a while and broadcast out there for a while, and it's a nice world. I'm back in my hometown of Muskogee, Oklahoma. Nobody knows what the hell I do, so this is fine.
Well, so, I sit at my computer all day long selling this movie.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe somebody out there doesn't understand. You can be an actress and all of a sudden change, but after a while you want to do something that's really important, I think.
Well, I do, for sure. You know, I started out, I was a Phi Beta Kappa, summa cum laude graduate of NYU. I like to do everything really well. And what's worth doing really well? Fixing the world, you know. So that's the natural progression.
Thank you very much, Suzanne. And the name of the movie again is?
What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery, cropcirclemovie.com, theconversation.org.
And I can tell you used to do some, you probably did on-camera stuff too, but voiceovers, I bet.
I did, indeed, all my commercials.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Suzanne Taylor. I'm Jerry Pippin. We'll be back. We're in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Investigator and author Anthony Sanchez.
The name of the book is UFO Highway. I found that although I was diverging into multiple areas of UFO research, I kept finding myself back on the same road. And I found that all these different aspects of ufology were interconnected. So I decided to call the book UFO Highway.
This is the book that could not wait for a regular publisher. It had to be released now. The information is so sensitive, so shocking, so well researched. Colonel X comes from the dark shadows for the light of truth. The inside story of Area 51 and the challenging truth about extraterrestrials. The e-book of the century, now on sale. For information and to order, go to UFOHighway.com. We are at Angel Fire Resort in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Rick Aragon, last year you played the flute. And by the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back with you. You look great, and it's a whole year is passing. Here we are again, huh?
Yeah, right. And we're having a lot of fun. You have a movie in the film festival.
I do, sir. Mysteries Night is in one of the finals today.
And tell me a little bit about what that film's about.
It's about these special dragonflies here in the area here that after they make the last generation ready, they have one last flight of ecstasy. And when they reach the plateau, they explode. And if you're lucky enough to find the wings, and you put the wings to your tongue at night, the essence on those wings will let you leave your body, and you can go and seduce the one you love.
Now you're going to do a couple of songs for us. You're going to do an Elvis song for us later.
Yes, I am. And actually, I think just because of the fitting thing, I've got a song here about reincarnation. It's called The Highwayman. I'd love to share that with you and your audience.
Let's do that now.
That'd be great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I was a highwayman, across the country I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier left his life blood on my blade. The bastards hugged me in the spring of 25, but I'm still alive. I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide, and to the sea I do abide. I sailed a schooner round the horn to Mexico. I climbed aloft and furled the mainsail in the blow. And when the yard broke off, they said that I got killed, but I'm living still. I was a dam builder across the river deep and wide, where steel and water do collide, in a place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet cement below. They buried me inside that tomb that knows no sound, but I'm still around. I'll always be around and around and around and around and around. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I might become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain, and I'll be back again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. I
everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell me a little bit about that song. Do you, is that on one of your CDs or something?
Actually, no. I think that's Mr. Webb wrote that as a songwriter. And Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, right. Chris Christopherson.
Right. We're going to do another song here in a little bit.
Yeah, we are. Sorry about
that. Gave him a little preview.
There you go. Yeah. We did. Okay. But actually, it's a song about reincarnation and about how this soul keeps re-coming back and keep coming back and keeps coming back.
Some of your work that you do deals with that subject.
It does. It does. Some of my tales with Coyote Tales and those kind of things definitely deal with that. It's all over the place as far as...
Coyote Tales, they can order that on your website?
Yes, sir. www.frederickaragon.com or Facebook me, Frederick Aragon. I'd love to have some new friends on Facebook.
We'll have to become buddies.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
They call it friends.
Yeah, let's be friends. You could be my buddy, too. Yeah, that would work, sir.
Wrong website, folks.
Your website's pretty nice. I was looking at that last night just to get a little... And then the Elvis. I love the Elvis part of that. That's
We're dealing with Elvis, and we actually have some very good shows about Elvis that no one else has. We have testimony from people who worked with him and knew him.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of that. You need to really investigate that for a while.
Well, when you buddy me, I'll take your lead and follow you where you lead.
Okay, fine. Speaking of Elvis, you want to do an Elvis song here? Rick Aragon is Elvis.
When I walk through that door, baby, be polite. You're gonna make me suffer if you don't read me right. If you want my love, then take my advice. A dreaming. Know just what they say. It's not vanity. But if you got my gun, baby, I'm gonna freeze. If you want my love, then take my advice. A dreaming. Making me feel at home, if you really can. Scratch my back and run your pretty finger through my head. You know I'd be your slave if you asked me to. But if you don't behave, I'll walk right out on you. If you want my love, then take my advice. Dreaming of making me feel at home, if you really can. Scratch my back and run your pretty fingers to my head. You know I'd be your slave if you asked me to. But if you don't behave, I'll walk right out on you. If you want my love, then on my advice. Oh, dreamy nice, dreamy nice, dreamy nice. Oh, dreamy nice, dreamy nice. Well, if you really want my love, dreamy nice.
Hey, Rick Aragon. Now, are you still living in Taos?
I am, sir, yes. Actually, I'm getting ready for another film. I just won an award from the state of New Mexico to make a film based on one of my other songs from the American Native album. It's called Dark Is My Light. And this song is about the empowerment and the strength of women and the female form.
Now, can they get that that CD with that song on it on your website?
They can. This is from the American Native album. There's two songs actually on that album that have been making into film. One has been made into film for National Geographic, and that's the film that was entered in this contest here. That's called Mysteries Night. And my recent award is for the film, another song off the American Native album called Dark Is My Light.
Tell me a little bit about Mystic Nights. I know about Coyote Tales.
Mysteries Night is... Coyote was given the most amazing gifts by the maker of all, but the one gift that he wasn't given was the gift to make somebody love him. So that is his dilemma. He's always searching for a way to find love, and in my stories, he never is really successful, and when he is successful, he doesn't realize it, and he kind of destroys himself, is really enough rope to hang himself, I guess.
Yeah. Do you make any personal appearances around here? You play at clubs or anything?
Well, I haven't. To be honest with you, I've been really kind of involved with film the last few years. But funny you mention that. I'm actually going to be working with auditioning, and I have a few female musicians because I have this incredible urge to turn the actual movie of Dark Is My Light over to all female cast, whether it's the director, all the people that are making it. The only thing that I would probably be involved in this movie is just the animation and special effects and the final and the editing. But the song is about women, my appreciation for them, and the strength of women. And I just think when I originally did the song, I wrote it for a female part. But being a male, I could never, ever, ever achieve probably the emotion and the strength that that song could have. So Melody Romancito of Taos, one of our great performers in Taos, is going to re-record Dark Is My Light. And so we'll be doing that this fall.
And have you selected a venue yet so people can see you?
I haven't. So you know what? I tell you, Jerry, since we're going to be buddies/friends on Facebook, I'll keep you caught up, and we'll be in touch, because I would love to share this with you and your audience, because we have a lot of stories to share with you here in this area, and I would love to share my stories with you and your audience.
I know you got to get ready for the award ceremony, and then you'll be in here entertaining the rest of the night.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. There's a couple other folks here that are going to play with us, and we're going to jam and just have the best time. So I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. It's always good to see you, Rick.
Thank you, brother. It's always good to see you, too. All the best.
Rick Aragon. And this is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from Angel Fire Resort here in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Who knows? We may be in Taos next year. You never know.
That would be awesome. We'd love to have you there.
Thank you very much. We'll be back. Thank you.
Go beyond the obvious and make Roswell, New Mexico, your brave new destination for fun and intrigue. Learn the truth about Roswell's history and see why Roswell's the mother of extraterrestrial connections. Whether you're looking for UFOs and aliens, cultural attractions, outdoor recreation, or even chewy mozzarella, there's plenty to uncover about this uncommon Roswell, New Mexico place. To find out more information on the mysteries of Roswell, visit www.roswellmysteries.com. Roswell, New Mexico. Visitors welcome.
We're at Angel Fire Resort in northern New Mexico, and one of the joys of coming to these symposiums is the fact I always meet somebody from Oklahoma. And we have the Holistic Warrior here. How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
You good? Tell me a little bit about why you're the Holistic Warrior. Why do you call it?
Well, that's a leading question there. But anyway, years ago, I was an engineer, a chemist, and I worked as a college professor and program developer. And at a certain time past that, I realized that didn't work anymore. So I decided to go off on my own. I started working on a PhD, and in that PhD program, I learned about holistic health. This is at the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center. And I learned about holistic health, and they talked about holistic health as being left-brained. I couldn't see a half a brain being a whole, so I wrote a paradigm in my dissertation that combined the holistic health model with the biomedical model. And I created a new model of health that uses both. And in essence, we were taking right and left brain and working both of them. So I have the scientific background, but I was also born intuitive, and I realized that I even got through chemistry intuitively. I'm not sure how to explain that, but I did.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to create a balance between it, and the Holistic Warrior evolved out of that. And the basic thing is this. Holism refers to that the whole is more than the sum of its parts. It's how those parts relate to each other that makes the difference. And that's relationships, which to me is the most important thing. Well, the warrior part, I'm more of the samurai warrior elk in that you're not worried about your opponent. You're more concerned about how you connect with yourself and making yourself the best part, best fighter that you can be. And once you do that, you connect with yourself, then you connect with your opponent, then you know what to do. So the battle to me is that I recognize that I have my intellectual mind that wants to run the show but doesn't know how to. I have my intuitive mind that knows how to run the show because it's connected with the source. And so that intuitive mind wants the intellectual mind to work together. So when I go to my heart, then I can get both to work together in balance. That's the Holistic Warrior.
So you're in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Most of the time. Where, what town?
Norman.
So I was thinking, and you went to school there?
Yes, I went to graduate school there.
Yeah.
I went to Langston undergraduate, and I went to got my master's in chemistry there, and I got a PhD in social psychology of health from the Health Science Center.
So do you make a lot of these conferences?
This is my first conference like this.
Okay.
This is, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to come, because I'm trying to expand my horizon to see what else I can do in other venues.
And what kind of reaction are you getting from the people?
Have you got a grandmaster?
Yeah. Well, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Just, I want to be busier. That's the only thing.
Sure.
I like the energy. Actually, the first night I was here, when we got here Thursday evening and went to that gathering over by the hotel we stayed, Laguna, what do we call that thing? And I was interacting with people and was like, whoa, this is another world. This is good. The thing with it is, in most cases, I don't get a chance to talk about things like this.
I understand.
So to have a chance to talk about and talk to people on this level is great.
So you feel that this is an opportunity? Or?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. It's a great opportunity. And I like to expand on that, you know, given the time. And it's like I want to connect. I want to make sure it connects with me as well.
What is your objective overall? Do you have a goal? Everybody has a goal.
In life? Okay.
You're taking the journey? Where you
I want to go to transcend to the next level of consciousness.
Okay.
That's the basic answer.
So it's a personal journey.
Everything is personal, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a personal journey that involves connecting with myself, the Creator, and everybody else, as opposed to attachment.
Have you thought about writing a book or something?
I have. I'm editing. I wrote a book years ago and wasn't so sure about it. And now I'm getting it edited and hopefully be out next 6 months. I have and this is a book that's called The Philosophy According to Thomas Three. And it's my basic philosophy, starting from defining what God is and like this. And it's really a collection of articles that I've written, some published, and put together in various forms. The book is dedicated to my grandkids to let them know how I came to be the way I am.
So you have grandkids. You don't
look
yes. that old.
I'm 70 years old.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you, anyway, when so you're dedicating this to your grandkids so
yes.
they will
they'll understand
maybe one step ahead.
Something like
you
that.
Had to start
yes,
the journey.
Yes. Yeah, we all on our journey, and it's to be examples of them and other people.
And you need to explain to me a little bit more about how you went from the traditional world to where you are now.
Okay.
I mean, that's got to be quite a trip.
This book is part of that, and I'm writing a part of that, too.
And do you have a title for that book yet?
The book is called The Philosophy According to Thomas Three.
Okay.
Okay, The Holistic Warrior. I have a second book that's based on what I call The Little Bear Series. And this is the book describes my philosophy. That book, the first book defines my philosophy. The second book defines my practice, which will get into the answer to your question.
Yeah.
The little bear, each story starts with the little bear asking his mother, "Mother, what is love?" And the mother says, "Well, what do you think love is?" And so the little bear begins to describe love, and as he does it, then the mother goes on a discourse like Socrates and explains for the rest of that story about love. So it's a series of stories that goes on how we can operate in life. So it goes like this. I believe that my journey was understanding that I was intuitive. I had to learn the way the world works first. So I went the scientific route because that gave me an understanding of how the world works. And I think you'll find that anybody who's gone through the scientific paradigm can go to any other field and be successful because they have a basis, a methodology for doing so.
The scientific method, so to speak.
Yes, because that gives you a way of accessing, discovering, and working the world and understanding the world.
And what is love, as far as you're concerned? Is it somewhat like the golden rule?
No,
karma?
No.
Okay, what?
There's three stages of love. Okay. Let me put it this way. Have you read Conversations with God? The book comes. Okay, he has the best definition other than mine, and I like his because it's more thorough, maybe. So I use his definition, modified with mine. And he says, in the beginning, God knew everything that was and everything that wasn't, but didn't know experience. So God split himself in two and created that which is based on love and that which is based on fear. Then as love interacts with itself and as fear interacts with itself, they create experience. That's like the Tao of first that was a one, and then that was a two, and from the three came a myriad of things. So God is love. So that's love on the first level. The second level is duality of love and fear. That love is not the love of the first level. It's love on the second level. That's the opposite of fear. Are you with me?
Okay.
That's the opposite of fear. Okay? Then the third level of love is what most people exist on this planet deal with, and now I call that love. Love is attachment. Love on the second level is connection. Love on the first level is hope.
And this is the message that you have in your book.
Yes, it's the message I have in my book. It's what I teach.
And what besides coming here, what else do you have on your agenda?
I have three areas. I'm a college professor. I teach online. I work with the state.
What subject do you teach?
Oh, a variety of things from something called based on rational motor therapy and some other things like that. What is it called? Emotional intelligence, science courses. I can teach almost any course almost because I have my wide background that's offered. Then I do training for the state in team building motivation communication skills. I have a certification in behavior modification from a professor at Harvard and MIT years ago that I use as a basis for training. And then I have my own studies. And I do what I call spiritual coaching, psychic, whatever. I call it spiritual coaching. And so what I work on doing is helping people to understand how to take care of themselves. And my philosophy is I have no trouble taking care of me. I don't want to take care of anybody else. So my readings and what I do is designed to help people understand how to take care of themselves.
And that's pretty logical if you stop and think about it.
It's both.
If you can't take care of
yourself. Yes, yes. If you, there's something else. There's the mind that's programmed. And most of it has been trained through all these programs to act the way we do. And as long as we operate from there, we're operating from the outside in, which means we're going on everybody else's stuff, not on our own. That's the fear stuff. That's the heart. The heart is connected, and one of the things I do is take people to the light to show that God is already there. And so once you connect with your heart, and I show people how to do that, you are automatically connect with the source. So anything you do from your heart, it's automatically in your favor. Now, a lot of people say, my head says one thing, but my heart says another. That's a misnomer. They really don't know what they're talking about. What they're saying is, my head says one thing, my emotional attachment says another. Because if their heart told them what to do, they wouldn't be in trouble.
So, basically, you follow your hunches or guides or...
When you follow your heart, your guides are there, whatever you need is there, but it's still from the source. When you understand that the source is in me, the source is in you, the source is in everybody else, you don't have to take care of people because they're already there. And whether it takes 1 second or 10,000 years or one lifetime or many lifetimes, they're going to find their way back. So I don't have to take care of anybody. So what I do is show them that space and what they can do to make that connection and help them to deal with that.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation. I wish we had a lot of time to talk about it, but we've lost.
I understand. Yes.
We're going to have to follow this up a little bit.
But, yes.
Is there something you'd like to bring out to our audience to know a little bit more about you and what you're doing and the whole idea?
Oh, wow.
I kind of leave it
to me, it's all about connecting. that as I connect with you, as I connect with her, as we just did, and everybody else, I can find the best way to deal with life. Therefore, I don't have to worry about what you do. I'm more concerned about how I react to what you do, because I can change that. I can't change you, and I don't want to change you, because that's not my job. But I can change me. And since I can change me, then all that's designed is to do the thing I talked about earlier of making the transcendence to the next level.
Okay, so which book's coming out first?
The Philosophy according to Thomas Three. And I hope in the next 3 months to 6 months.
Okay, people keep a lookout for that. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Well, it's been a joy. Like I say, I wish we had more time.
Another time.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
This is Jerry Pippin. We'll be right back.
Peace.
Investigator and author Anthony Sanchez.
The name of the book is UFO Highway. I found that although I was diverging into multiple areas of UFO research, I kept finding myself back on the same road. And I found that all these different aspects of ufology were interconnected. So I decided to call the book UFO Highway.
This is the book that could not wait for a regular publisher. It had to be released now. The information is so sensitive, so shocking, so well researched. Colonel X comes from the dark shadows for the light of truth. The inside story of Area 51 and the challenging truth about extraterrestrials. The e-book of the century, now on sale. For information and to order, go to UFOHighway.com. We're at Angel Fire at the resort, and I met Michelle in the elevator last night. You're a water person, huh?
Yes. You know, since we're at this UFO conference, I'm going to reveal something I normally don't reveal. I'm a water person because many reasons, but when you do healing work, water is really good to get in afterwards because it helps clean you up.
Okay, now let's go over your name and the name of your book. I have it here in front of me before we get into anything.
Sure, because we'll get
Let's get right to it.
My spiritual name and the one I use for my book and my work is Michelle Amawahali. My official last name is Rozbitsky.
See, folks, either way I can pronounce it.
So Amawahali is my healer name.
Does that mean something?
It means water eagle, osprey, or mother of the waters.
What language?
Cherokee, actually.
Okay.
And my last name is Ukrainian, and it means the undefeated ones. It's a warrior name.
So, and I don't know what the horoscope is, but Aquarius, are you one? Or were you some other sign?
I'm a Pisces.
Okay. Well, I think they have a little water.
They have a little bit of water them. Yeah,
so
they need water. And then, if you take it even further, what I was going to say, since I'm at this conference, I'm very connected to my own home planet of Sirius, which is about the water, once again.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's name the book.
Okay.
And how do they find the book?
It's Journey to the Fifth World, Coming Full Circle in Healing and Transformation. But you can just remember Journey to the Fifth World. And it's on Amazon. You can get it from Amazon or my website, which is also Journey to the Fifth World.
.com,
where it talks about my healing work that I do, my shamanic work, my groups, my workshops, everything. So.
Okay. How did you become a shaman? Or are you a shaman?
The thing with us Neo...
You have this mystery name, so...
It is a mystery.
Two of them.
Shall we reveal it?
Yeah.
So
tell me more.
I will tell you more, and I'll reveal the mystery. So the shamanic tradition, really, that word comes from Russia. And my ancestry is from the Ukraine, but that's where that word comes from. And it means those who see into the other worlds, basically. But us people who are now doing shamanic work, we don't really we weren't given that by our community, by the land we live on. It's a very different thing. Spirit will come to you like it did to me, and I was already a trained psychotherapist, but then I started going to Native ceremony because I worked on the Pueblos and lived on the Pueblos north of Santa Fe for 10 years. Ran a family violence program, but during that time I started going to ceremonies, healers, medicine men, working with people from Guatemala, Peru, and started realizing I had abilities that were beyond just psychotherapy, way beyond, and started working with them and training with people and realizing that it went deeper and further to help people heal.
When we talk about helping people heal, are you talking about emotionally, physically, or both?
Spiritually. Emotionally, physically, mentally. But the thing with this work is going to the core, where things started, and unhooking and releasing so that they don't have to do the same thing over and over and over again. So it goes deeper. It goes way deeper.
Yeah, I was getting into that, what was in the book here, Michelle, but so people who are listening, they might want to pick it up, you know. And so you're saying if they buy this book, there's some lessons in there about not doing the same damn thing every day.
Yes, because we, a lot of times we do that. We're like knocking our heads against the same issues, the same relationships, the same frustrations, and we don't need to do that. And this book is about 2012, but it's a healing journey, and it has.
Well, I was told you knew everything that was going to happen in 2012.
Oh yes, of course.
And we'll get to that before it's over.
Everything. No mistakes.
Okay. So anyway, you pick this book up and you get it at Amazon on your website, and we'll give that again. We have a link to it as well. When they start reading this, it might be a life-changing experience.
Absolutely. I wrote the book like a healing journey. So if someone never saw me for a session, and I do long distance in person, doesn't matter.
And they can find out how to get involved with that on your website.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And, how to contact me, all my contact information is on that website. But the book is about how we can heal now at this time on the planet quicker, deeper than ever before, because it's time to do that. There's energies available from, you know, the universe, from the earth, from us as a collective that says it's time to change, as we all can see from what's going on the planet on every level. And this book takes you through that journey of healing so that you can navigate through a lot of things that may seem confusing to you about all these changes. And also, where before we may have just like la-di-da gone through our lives thinking everything was okay.
Describing my life exactly.
Really? You've gone through your lives like tiptoeing through the tulips?
Yeah.
Really?
Some people would probably say yes.
What's that been like?
I had direction at all times.
But now, now it's a little different, maybe.
So anyway, when we talk about these steps and things that you must do in this book, and I don't guess the must do is the right, you're inclined to do them after you read your book, is that right?
Yes, and you'll have an understanding that a lot of the things that have been missing or are confusing, that when you go through these healing doorways, like I call them that, then things open up for you in your life. You can create a much more blessed, connected to spirit and your own true self kind of life.
Now, I have a hunch that you're going to tell me 2012 is part of this change.
Just a little bit.
Tell me more about that.
Oh, there's so much
to say. Are we already into this? I guess we are kind of into the shift, as they say.
1987, harmonic convergence into the Hopi, the beginning of 25 years of purification began. That was the cleansing, all things unseen, all things hidden. You know, all this information from UFOs to past lives to hidden runes to documents were to be revealed. And that started. But as we get closer...
Did that affect people individually in this change when it started in 1987?
Big time. People started delving...
The reason I ask is I changed careers in 1987. Kind of.
Really? To what?
Well, I was doing stand-up comedy. Roberta, our producer here, and I were in business. We had some comedy clubs. And I went back into broadcast business in Las Vegas in 1987.
Well, there you go.
And I've been doing interviews ever since.
And these interviews have probably helped a lot of people understand some of what's been going on.
Well, that's an idea. Certainly we hope it does. I think this one's helping some.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in 87, and one happened
to start. So people have been spending more time working on themselves. There's so many healing modalities. You can pick out of hundreds of them to see what fits you and do different ones at different times, because the Incas call this the time of meeting ourselves again. We spend so much time outwardly goal-oriented, manifesting things, making things, that we need some time now to balance with our inner work. And that will help take us through this time. If we keep spending our time creating goals without thinking about what we're doing on the planet, once again, not only in our own lives, but on the planet, we'll keep creating the same things that aren't working necessarily. So when you start looking at your own self, your own life, you start making changes. So the energies that are here are helping us look at ourselves in really honest ways, look at us, look at our planet, look at our governments, so that we can't be in denial anymore. And I think that's getting more and more obvious. And that goes from the tiniest little issues in your own life to the biggest global issues affecting us all. And, you know, I have my particular way of working with people, and others have a particular way. But when people come to me, this time is helping me do stronger, faster, deeper work because of the bigger energies of 2012.
So it's good for all concerned.
Absolutely. But once again, it's up to people's free will what we create here. We can go towards destruction, like, you know, the way some things are going, or we can create birth a whole new world. And it depends on what we do with our own selves.
1987, we started. 2012, is it over? Or we're talking about this wonderful feeling and we're all together, or what happens here? I'm dying to know what you think is going to happen in 2012.
Well, that's like the epicenter of this energy, where it's direct with the center of the Milky Way, which sounds all cosmic and new age, but it's actually, scientists have seen us going through this photon belt that's increasing everything. Everything's going faster, and more energy is happening. So that moment, none of us know exactly what will happen, but what spiritual people say from many traditions, Mayan, Incan, Peruvian, Native Americans, we get a chance to go back, like being reborn again. Kind of, it's like being cleared of our karmic stuff, but that's up to what we do till that moment. And it will just go faster and faster, trying to help us come to rebirth to be adults instead of adolescents. So everything might just stop energy-wise. Polarities may shift. Weather is getting crazier and crazier. But that moment is time to shift into a whole new way of living, connected to Earth, each other, ETs, a bigger reality than we have ever known.
You come to a lot of UFO conferences, or basically paranormal things?
Well, you know, I actually just went to a star knowledge gathering with indigenous people in the Four Corners, which was actually the first kind of UFO one, but it was funny because it was much more drumming, singing, calling in, encounters with alien beings and ships. But before that, I've mostly gone to ceremonies, and I've had booths at whole expos and things. It's because it's more about healing. This is actually the first pure, like, more scientific UFO, but I think it's all needed, you know, all different viewpoints.
Do you have a schedule of your events on what you're doing on your website?
Yes, people can look at...
they can come and take a look at you someplace.
Yes, yes. I live on beautiful acreage, 15 minutes out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. People come to do retreats. People come to learn, do shamanic apprenticeships, mentorships. If you're already a healer, I can help people further. And I Sometimes I do big workshops. I have moon groups. So a lot goes on. A lot goes on. And my email, you can email me. I don't mind giving that over. Your,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's earthstar3@earthlink.net. earthlink.net. And you can write me to get more information also.
Okay, we hope you get lots of emails.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish we had more time, but we have a lot of people to talk to.
That's fine.
But you got anything you'd like to bring out we haven't? Something you...
I just would like to say that people are probably feeling all kinds of change and feeling like their lives are not the same at all. Just know that it's part of a bigger change you're being asked to make. Find someone to work with. Find a spiritual path. Know who your community is and how you're living on the earth. And, you know, we'll make it through.
All right. Thank you very much, Michelle. I'm Jerry Pippin. We'll be right back.
Go beyond the obvious and make Roswell, New Mexico, your brave new destination for fun and intrigue. Learn the truth about Roswell's history and see why Roswell's the mother of extraterrestrial connections. Whether you're looking for UFOs and aliens, cultural attractions, outdoor recreation, or even chewy mozzarella, there's plenty to uncover about this uncommon Roswell, New Mexico place. To find out more information on the mysteries of Roswell, visit www.roswellmysteries.com. Roswell, New Mexico. Visitors welcome.
My name is Tara Ray, and we are the Blooming Bush Women.
Well, there you have it. She's the spokesman for the Blooming Bush Women. We hear so much about all three of you. Let's introduce the other two. Who are you?
I'm Mary Beth.
And?
Gushikawa.
Tell us a little bit about what all you do, because it's very interesting. And I really don't want to, you know, bill you improperly. So let's just talk about it. I know you've traveled around the world. And what actually do you do? I mean, you entertain, I know that. And but you have a mission.
We do. And actually, the name of our organization, soon to become a nonprofit organization, is called Pathway to Harmony. And so all the things we do, we provide a pathway to harmony with our music. We do ceremonial prayers for peace. We work with children, and we work with veterans.
Now, you did a blessing to open up this place.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do that normally with wherever you appear?
Often they have us begin so we can do a blessing for the show and for the people.
And I have all three of you been the original Bush, Blooming Bush Women, pardon me, or are you recent additions or what?
Well, primarily, the core, I think, of the whole concept of what's behind this whole thing were Tara Ray and Gushikawa. And about 3 years ago, I had an accident, a serious knee accident, and Tara Ray came to visit, and she had a lot of original material, music.
Were you skiing at this place?
No, I wasn't. No. But so she came to entertain me while I was unable to get out, and it was during the winter time, and so I was really excited about her material. Her wonderful writing is just so beautiful. And so then we just started playing, just like children would play. I mean, not serious at all, and just started making up some tunes to her words. And that's how the band part started.
Hey, interesting. Now, any of the three can get in on this. Do you travel a lot? I know the resume looks like you do. You want to answer that?
We travel quite a lot. We've been to New Mexico, as we are now, in Angel Fire, and we've traveled to California. And that was actually our first time being together live. And
how did that go?
It was very beautiful.
It was
very
wonderful.
Interesting.
It was fun.
Another story in its own. Actually, we are beginning to do many things. We've traveled to Denver, and we've been asked to do many things.
Do you have a website where people can contact you, or do you have an agent, or is it you, Carol?
Not yet. We don't have an agent or a website, but if you Google Tara Ray and the Blooming Bush Women, you will see, it's like our resume, you'll see many things where we will be soon or that we have done. And our mission of working for peace actually began in 1996. And in our program, we tell about the story of being with the White Buffalo Calf Woman Pipe and Arville Looking Horse. And Gushikawa and I were there together and dedicated ourselves to peace. And we said, Creator, please use us for peace, which soon found us in Israel, where we did ceremonial prayer for peace, and Gushikawa did the sword dance for peace. So we've been on this mission for a long time, and we just really have fun doing the band and all it brings us, and we're so glad that it's brought us here to Angel Fire and to the Paranormal Symposium.
And you were here last year, and we missed you. That's one reason we appreciate you coming by this year, all three of you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Let's talk a little bit about how would they find you. I guess they can write me and I can contact with you. You got a contact?
I can give my email. It's ELA.
I mean, there may be people out there that want to book the Blooming Bush one.
Yeah, you can. All you must do
is get you on the road.
All right, email to, it's called ELAKAWA at hotmail.com. ELAKAWA@hotmail.com.
Now, what kind of material do you do? I know you did children's stuff at one time.
We have many children's programs.
Okay.
Many of different, we have a Native American children's program. I have an opera singing program. I teach opera to preschoolers. It's Singrini Linguini, the greatest opera singer of all times.
There's nobody here named Bush.
No.
And nobody named Blooming. How did this come about, Blooming Bush Women?
Okay, well, this is a beautiful story. Long ago, when I was a forest ranger, and I lived in the forest, I worked in the forest, and I was alone all the time. But I was with nature, and I was seeking meaning to life, and also seeking healing. And this is a true story. I just relate to nature all the time. As a child, I climbed the redwood trees in California. And so I've always related to trees and plants. And so I came upon a beautiful bush full of flowers, a wild bush. And I said, oh, bush, thank you so much. You are making me smile today. And so I say, into my heart and into my mind came these words from the bush, or through the bush. And it said, hello, I see you. You are not alone. I love you. And so ever since that time, I never feel alone, and I feel union with nature and beauty and people and everything now. And then I told that to Mary Beth when we were just becoming friends. I just told her that story just as a friend, and she said,
well, we were looking for a name for the group, and she told a story about the Blooming Bush. And I thought, well, you know, Moses had the burning bush, and he was inspired and spoken to by God, you know, through the burning bush. I said, well, God spoke to Tara Ray through the Blooming Bush. And so we just did it as just being silly one day, and then thought, you know, that does have some sort of a catch to it. And we have gotten all kind of responses from, oh, yeah. You know, from, well, I won't go into it, but anyway. But it does, people remember the name.
Well, you got a good point there. Now, all of you live here in New Mexico now?
No, we're Coloradans.
Oh, Colorado, yeah. Okay. None of you live here in New Mexico.
None of us.
We live in West.
One or the other, I was half right. No, I was not.
You're
right
close, state-wise, you're close.
Yeah, I was close. So you're willing to travel anywhere at the deal?
We would travel.
And we do. Oh, we're affordable.
Okay.
And we have a new member who didn't get to come this time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought
yes.
there was always only three.
Well, until just recently, we have a female bass player. Well, of course, Tara Ray is the Native American flute, and Gushikawa is percussion with Tibetan bowl, Native American drum, shakers and such, and I do keyboards, and I do the guitar.
Yeah, last year on Sunday, you were outside playing, and all of a sudden a big thunderstorm came up. Remember that?
We did, yeah, while we were banging on the drum.
Yeah, yeah.
And the heavens answered.
I thought you brought it all on.
The elements often respond in nature.
Yes, they do.
To our music and prayers.
Well, I just would like to share with you, Jerry, that when you talk about the world, I'm the world traveler.
Okay.
I photograph indigenous people, and I just came back from the Makah native people. And I've been to the whole rainforest, the only rainforest in the North America. And it was Creator that told me to go photograph the rainforest, the only rainforest in North America. And I went up to the Makah Indian Reservation to photograph the canoers coming in from all over the area, and also the Ainu were there from Japan, the Ainu, the indigenous people there, and people from Greenland, and people from actually Australia, the Maori came in. And so it was very beautiful. So I'm the world traveler.
Is there someplace they could see your work, your photographs?
Well, I'm working on that also.
Okay.
I'm sort of a dinosaur when it becomes the computers.
This is even more of a reason for people to tune in next time we say we have the Blooming Bush Woman on, because you're going to have a website, and you're going to have a place for the gallery and all kinds of things. And she's not going to... well, she might break her leg again.
No way, Jerry.
You're not going to ski.
No.
No, we do not have to manifest wonderful things in that way.
Not at this time in my life.
Well, don't wait to my age. You'll never heal. Thanks very much, ladies.
Thank you, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Jerry Pippen, we're at Angel Fire at the symposium.
I want to talk to you about a very interesting website indeed. It's called SedonaVisions.com. This website is operated by the daughter of the late Wendell Stevens and has a good selection of UFO books. However, it's unique because CC is a well-respected alternative figure specializing in everything that is unique. I'm talking about great gift ideas for Christmas. CC prides herself in keeping up with the latest innovations when it comes to keeping your body and spirit full of energy and good health. She has an exciting line of clothing, too, for both men and women. Clothes that look like new age, feel like cotton, but look like silk. On the website, you'll find information about the 13 different crystal skulls, herbs, and spices that cure. That's SedonaVisions.com, an exciting world of health and spiritual welfare.
Wow, we've had a lot of fun at Angel Fire, and of course, it's all due to this lady, Janet Saylor, our next guest. The force behind AspieFiles.org, and we're here at Angel Fire Resort, and it's been a great weekend, Janet.
Yes, it has. It's been a long weekend, but certainly full of energy and a lot
of
happy people.
Well, that's one of the fun things of doing this, is a marathon.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And we're all getting older. We're not as good as marathons as we used to be, but yeah. We've all managed.
I've never noticed that we're getting older. We invited Governor Richardson here, and he couldn't make it, but he was nice enough to write you a letter. Do you mind sharing that with us?
Well, it's kind of a lengthy letter, but I'll tell you, this is a man who's filled with humor. He's not running for office this year, so there's no reason for him to say any of these things. But I want to tell you, I'll just read, if I can read just like one paragraph.
Okay.
He says, New Mexico has an extraordinarily rich history of the culture of the strange and unexplained. From the Taos Hum to the Roswell incident are many haunted towns and sites, brujos, skinwalkers, and most of what goes on here in the state capitol building. The man's got a sense of humor, right?
Right.
He said, all of this leaves people shaking their heads in wonder. There is a reason other than natural beauty that New Mexico is known as the land of enchantment. And then he thanks us a lot for giving him this first ever Sir Arthur Film Award. And he did receive the first award from the... So he's got the very, very first one ever. This is a big 4.5-pound solid crystal disc.
Oh, it's
and
fantastic.
It's engraved, and, yeah, and it's really, really pretty. He's said to all the festival attendees that he hoped that everyone has enjoyed their stay in Angel Fire. And he's very proud of all the things he's done to help the film industry grow in this town. He gave us some figures. He said in 2003 there were less than 100 crew members, and now we have over 3,000. He said there are 10,000 jobs and $3.5 billion in economic activity attributed to the industry during his administration alone. And he says he's not taking credit for this, but he's giving credit to events like the Sir Arthur Film Festival and other folks who helped this industry grow. So it's a very gracious letter. It's filled with humor, and we're really happy to have it.
Now, this is the first time you've dealt with film festivals, I think.
You betcha.
Paul Davis just walked by a while ago. He's been the force behind it.
He's been a wonderful film festival chairman. We're really happy to have him.
And we've talked to a lot of the filmmakers here, and you're going to have another film festival next year?
Well, Paul seems to think we are, and I guess we are. So we've got people all the way from Norway. One of the filmmakers came all the way from Norway. Two of them came in. So we're really proud. We have a lot of power at this conference this year. I've never seen so much paranormal power concentrated in one place.
And, we always stress the fact that there's no bigger bargain than what you've been putting forward. So I'm sure if you do it again next year, and you probably will, basically the Paranormal Symposium will be another fantastic move.
Contact I certainly hope so. Around. Yeah, contact was the theme this year, and we're still looking at what we're going to do for a theme next year. I can't imagine that it will cost more. I'm going to try and make it cost less, but, of course, we're not making any money on this, so we're just trying to cover expenses. One thing I can say is that there are a lot of places that are difficult to get to in the paranormal world, and that includes Roswell, Aztec, Laughlin, and now Angel Fire. But you know what? We're worth it. We're worth it.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Well, while we have with him kind of a retrospective of everything, what's new with Aspie Files? I mean, you still are planning on having your, I call them semi-monthly meetings, because you don't meet when the snow's up to your ears.
No, we don't meet in the winter anymore, but about 6 times or 7 times a year when it's, when we don't have to worry about the pass being closed with 10 feet of snow, we invite speakers from, they've come from all over. They've come from other states even to come in, and they talk on things from everything from, obviously ghosts and goblins and UFOs to leprechauns and we had, underground bases, ETs, just whatever is the paranormal realm.
And we have in the audience, of course, we're radio. They can't see it, but we have a couple of real movers and shakers in the underground base business, Norio Hayakawa.
An old best friend and a new best friend.
And Anthony Sanchez. And, of course, we recorded a fantastic show with them. Dennis Balthizer also will join us, and he's been the master of ceremonies this year.
He's been wonderful. He came with a hook and a whip, and he's made sure everybody's been on time, or they're going to know why.
let's talk just briefly about your website. People need to come to that. You have late breaking news on there.
We have a little bit of everything on there. ASPE is the organization name, and, of course, that's an acronym for Alliance Studying Paranormal Experiences. We're a nonprofit organization, and we're kind of serving as a messenger. We don't really do any research. I can't say that we don't do any, but that's not our focus. Our focus is to serve as a venue for people who have done significant research to share it with other people. And we not only let them do that through the various meetings and little events and the big events that we have, but we've also got a quarterly magazine, an e-magazine, that they can read articles from everybody from Stanton Friedman to Dennis to, a lot of people write and participate in that magazine. And we also have news of what's going on in the world. It's a good place to go to find out not only what's going on with ASPE, but what's generally going on in the world of the paranormal throughout the country and the world.
I know Norio will probably drift off before we finish the show here, but we're going to close out the entire program series with Norio playing His one-man band series, a keyboard, and a few other things. He's a fantastic talent.
The highlight.
Down here.
That's right.
He played downstairs, then he went over here.
Then he went upstairs. He did Johnny Cash better than Johnny Cash could ever do Johnny Cash. He did Willie Nelson. He did Elvis. He did Elvis in Italian. He was wonderful. And I have it on video.
We're going to close
out. I'm going to sell it.
I'm going to close out with his original composition about Roswell when we finish here. I don't know that he's written anything about Angel Fire yet, but maybe you will.
I don't know.
Year.
Have you written anything about Angel?
Maybe next
They're
year.
Okay, next year. He's coming back next year. And Anthony says that he's coming back whether he knows it or not.
Okay, let's talk a little bit what interests Janet Saylor. You have all kinds of venues here, and you do see auras. Can you shut that on or off, or am I glowing?
No, but I always see your colors. You have a lot of yellow, and I won't go into that because that's not really important. But I do see them, and
Does
I don't.
Does that mean I'm chicken?
No, that means you're very smart. Yellow up here especially is a very smart color. People ask me that a lot. I don't shut them off. They're never shut off, but it's kind of like, you know, having a very good acute sense of hearing or something, or when you see things in your peripheral vision and your brain registers it, but it's not really in your conscious. I have the ability, and I think probably most other people do too, is when I look at you, I see your face. I don't see all the colors over your face, but I can see them around you. When I step back and alter my view a little bit, I can see actually the colors all around you.
You had a guy shooting auras here.
Yeah, it was so exciting because many people now know I see auras. And they've always wanted to know how and what it looks like and everything. And I said, you got to come and see this guy. Get your aura photo taken, and you can see what I see. And they've been coming in droves. They really have. He's thrilled.
Fantastic.
He's had a really good business. I think he's going to come back, and we want him back because this is one of those things that people can understand. It's actually on, you know, it's solid. It's not, you know, the paranormal, I believe, is just things that we simply don't understand yet. And the closer we come to, when we have things like actual photographs of auras, that makes that particular part of the paranormal a little more understandable. So it brings the curious back to find out more. And that's part of our messenger kind of activity that we do.
Well, as part of your message to the world here, maybe they need some time to prepare for next year, and they can check your website and see what that happens and when develops and what there'll be changes and always are. And so they need to check on that. But let's just talk basically about what you'd like to bring out in this broadcast that we haven't talked about with you recently and about this whole. Well, I know you're tired and things are just been moving in on you. You're an exceptional person to be able to handle all this. I mean, when do you sleep?
Well, not lately. Somebody said yesterday, I've been awake since 5 o'clock and I'm really tired. And I said, you know, I've been awake since January.
Yeah.
Somebody else walking down the stairs said, I heard that. And that's sort of been the way it's been. I've been really blessed. I have some health problems that some people know about. But for some reason, I think I'm being helped, probably paranormally, to you know, this is my job. I view this as a mission and a job, and so I just do it, and I think I'm being assisted to make sure that my health is maintained and that I can get this kind of thing done. I have two messages. One is about Angel Fire, and that I think it truly is the paranormal capital of New Mexico. And if you want to know what it is about me, I have been blessed with the ability to have my mind accept that absolutely everything is possible, and that probably explains me as well as anything does. I'm willing to look at everything because I think it is all possible.
You got any other closing words? Closing touch, we're out of
time. I love Jerry Pippin.
He's
a cool, cool guy.
No,
the Bitsy thing. We've got the cutest little Bitsy award.
Did you have a lot of participants with the tinfoil hat?
Yes, we did, and we have pictures all over the wall. And I'm going to put some of them up on the Internet because some of the tinfoil hats were really, really creative. There was one guy who actually made one. Most tinfoil hats are known for repelling, you know, alien. I mean, this is all a joke, right? This is not serious. And it's a little bit of levity, so you need to take all this with a grain of salt. But he decided that he wanted, instead of repelling aliens, he wanted to call them in. And I don't know how he did it, but he's got an entire receiver dish on his head in this hat. And it's wonderful.
Well, let's send him over to see Setting.
It is like way cool.
They need some help.
Yeah, right now that hat is sitting on our own resident alien, who's fondly known as the little gray guy.
And we have a picture on the photo gallery about that.
We're gonna, we've got pictures of him. So we had some fun here. We had some powerful people giving some powerful messages, and really powerful messages. We also had a lot of fun.
I want to
do it again.
I think it's very important that people understand that that's what we're doing. We're expanding the horizon of our subject matter when we do things like the tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
It's you
can't live without a little bit of humor.
Life too seriously.
Even the governor, and he's not running for anything, and he inserted humor in this statement that he gave us.
So that's one of the reasons I like to come here. We all have fun.
Yes, we do. And I really do love Jerry Pippin.
And I really do like Janet Saylor and AspieFiles.org. And this has been a great time, Janet. Thanks for being. We're closing out with Norio Hayakawa in the background. Roberta Scott has been our on-location producer. Shanina Johnson has been our assistant. And I'm Jerry Pippin. Oh, Jane Swartley, she's pretty important, our web producer, or we wouldn't be here at all. Until next time, thanks for listening, and it's been fun. Thanks, Janet, for inviting us to Angel Fire, New Mexico.
You're welcome, and thank you, too.
Cheers.
Cuando se quiere de veras, como te quiero yo a ti, es imposible, mi cielo, tan separados, vivir tan separados.